Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you're well. And in this week's edition of the podcast, I thought I'd do something a little bit different and just answer a few questions, a few things, a few topics that have come up in the Sober Club recently. I thought I'd just share my my answers with everyone. It's interesting, you know, you sort of pitch up what topics, you know, would you like me to cover? And they're the same kind of topics that I know I wanted the answers to in the beginning. And as time goes on, there's just so many questions, aren't there, when you first stop drinking. So anyways, I thought I'd have a look at some of those today. And a little spoiler alert, that one of the questions that came up was around recommended reading and just how amazing and powerful Quitlet can be. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown of some of my favorite Quitlet. I mean, obviously, I'm going to mention my own book. Of course I am. But I'm going to mention quite a few of the books that were really instrumental in my journey. I mean, honestly, in the beginning, I wouldn't have made it without the Quitlet and the podcasts. I really wouldn't. That inspiration piece was just such a key part of my sober toolkit, if you like, of the thing that kept me going in those early weeks. So yeah, little spoiler alert, you're going to get a bit of recommended reading, and obviously there'll be a blog post that goes alongside this podcast, so you can have a look at the stuff I've recommended and you know, click through and buy any that you want. Although I must admit, my reading list isn't up to date. There's been lots more fantastic books since I wrote this, but anyways, it'll give you a start, particularly if you are starting out. Just before I do that, just before I get into it all, just a reminder of some dates. Hope you can join us on April the 10th, Wednesday, April the 10th, for the live podcast recording. Well, it's not live, it's I'm recording it live and then it'll be broadcast, but that's Wednesday, April the 10th at Club Soda. You do need to get tickets. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, then you can click through and get your ticket there. And the ticket includes a lovely alcohol-free cocktail and the opportunity to buy some drinks at Club Soda at a discounted rate. And I mean, you're going to need to bring a bag with you, because their choice is just amazing. We're so lucky in the UK to have these incredible places where we can go in and buy just the most amazing, have the most amazing choice of alcohol-free drinks. We really are fortunate. And I know things are changing. I saw something about a new alcohol-free bar in New York the other day, and things are changing around the world. But I do think we kind of lead the way here in the UK, which is unusual and quite nice. But certainly we're really lucky when it comes to the alcohol-free bars, aren't we? It's really an amazing thing. So yeah, Wednesday the 10th of April, really hope you can make it. I'm going to have a couple of guests. One is Michael Sargood, Happy Without the Hooch. He's very funny, very inspirational. So you're really going to enjoy Michael's company. And I'm hopefully going to jack up some other guests. I'll share that with you when that's all firmed up. But in any case, it's about just, you know, meet and greet. It's about meeting like-minded people. It's a lovely, lovely, intimate little setting. So I really hope you can make it along to that Wednesday, 10th of April. And then on Saturday, the 20th of April, I've got a really special day in Hertfordshire, Spring into Clarity. It's a vision board workshop, very small group of people. The whole aim of the day is to just take a bit of time out from your normal regime and routine and focus on you. And we don't often do that, and it sounds like it's terribly self-indulgent, but actually everyone around you benefits as well, in case you're thinking, oh my God, I can't leave the family. You know what? You really can focus on what you want for the day. And what we do is we're going to look at how you can quit some of the limiting beliefs. You know, we may not get everything sorted in those few hours, but you'll be leaving with a plan as to how you can notice your thoughts, start to work with some of those limiting beliefs so that you can knock them out, those things that have been holding you back. And we'll create a vision board, all the materials are provided, and They're just so powerful, so incredibly powerful. You leave with a plan and a kind of magic map for what you want for your future. So that's Saturday, 20th of April in Hertfordshire. The price includes a healthy lunch as well. It's near Junction 20 on the M25. So hopefully accessible, or if you're coming from London, it's about 25 minutes on the train from Euston. And then the next day at the same venue in Hertfordshire, we have a family constellations workshop. And you've heard me talk about that quite a lot, I think. Check it out on my website. Just have a look at the info about constellations. It's really powerful. It's you leave feeling so much more open-hearted and compassionate and able to look at literally everything with a different perspective. So these events are open to all, and it would be absolutely lovely to see you. I love hosting these events because I love meeting like-minded people, whether they're at the start of their sober journey or been sober for years or still just sober curious. It really doesn't matter. The people who rock up to my events, I'm very fortunate. It must just be, I don't know, about the energy, but they're just like-minded people who are open and curious and kind. And there's something really magical about that. So, you know, they do say that you are the sum total of the five people you hang out with most or something like that. So get connected with like-minded people. Anyways, I hope you can make one or more of those events. If you decide to come to the workshop day, the vision board workshop day and constellations, then there's a discount for both. So go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and it will be lovely to see you. At the end of April, we have a holistic sober coach training program that is full now, but do register your interest if you are interested in another sober coach coaching program coming up later on in the year. It'll be October, but if you get in early, we can have a conversation. Anyways, let's get into some of these questions then that have come up within the Sober Club. I actually asked, what would you like me to talk about? And this was some of the responses I got. So one woman said, what about the topic of fear versus gain? She says, I was terrified about stopping drinking. And I really remember this. I really remember how this felt in the early weeks. For me at the beginning, I felt I had to stop. I knew I was waking up feeling terrible. I knew that everything felt wrong. I knew something had to give. But if you'd said to me, you know, well, do you want to stop drinking, or would you rather just be able to carry on drinking and magically everything, you know, you can still stay healthy and everything's fine? Well, obviously I'd have chosen that. You know, I thought that I was going to be missing out. I was really fearful. I was fearful of who I would be. You know, when would I be myself again? Would I be able to be the same person? Would I be able to rock up at parties? You know, I was fearful. I really understand this question, this fear versus gain. I didn't really have much concept at the beginning of what I might be gaining, other than I suppose I hoped I would you know, gain a bit more health and I would lose a few pounds. You know, these words are so interesting, aren't they? Certainly at that point I was still thinking of the expression giving up. Everything did feel fearful. It really did for quite a long time. I felt fearful that I didn't know who I was and I didn't know how to be without a drink in my hand. That's the truth of it. All I can tell you is it changes over time. It really does. And the aim, I now realize, is to purposely change that FOMO, that fear, the fear of missing out, change it to JOMO, change it to the joy of missing out. Start to focus on everything that you're going to be gaining, even if it doesn't feel like that in the beginning. This really is they say fake it till you make it. I call it create it till you make it. It really is about just playing that role to start with until it becomes all of who you are. So you have to push through that fear, and you have to recognize that Well, number one, you're never allowed to say the phrase giving up. You know that by now. Anyone who works with me, then you're not allowed to say it. Every time you catch yourself saying, oh, I'm giving up alcohol. No, you're not. You're not giving up anything. You are quitting. You're ditching the booze. You're stopping drinking. You're moving on from being someone who drinks alcohol. But don't use the phrase give up because there is nothing to give up. Focus only on what you're gaining because there's everything to gain. And accept that you're bound to feel a little bit wobbly. You really are. It's understandable. It takes a while until we step into our new sober identity. It takes some time. We're kind of babies in this. We're toddlers, you know, we're just taking a step at a time. But every day gets a little, we get a little bit stronger. And every time we focus on what we're gaining, it starts to make a difference. It's so worth it. Just allow that time for you to step into your sober shoes, you know, to try, you're trying them on for size. You're literally finding yourself again, a different version of you, a better version of you. I've never met anyone who doesn't like the sober version of themselves. I really haven't. And don't forget, by the way, you can switch the fear, that lovely phrase, you know, the fear, replace that for face everything and rise. I love that. Face everything and rise. Just face it all. You've got to be willing to feel all the feels when you ditch the booze, right? So accept that it might feel a bit odd because it's completely new territory. And by the way, it is the most important thing you will ever do for your health and well-being. So let's not underestimate that. So it's worth doing, right? It's worth, you know, pushing on through. So that's that question. Right, next one is Carol was asking about parties and birthdays and anniversaries. And she said, how do we navigate our own birthday or anniversary or wedding or special event? Alcohol or no alcohol on the menu. And then she said, and I thought this was something I hadn't really considered much before. She said, imagine a sober bride and groom surrounded by guests who've drunk too much. What a nightmare. Oh my God, yeah. That's so true, isn't it? That's absolutely true. You know, we really don't want that. We really do not want a situation where it's your party, it's your special day. And those around you are drinking too much and you're not drinking. I mean, God, it doesn't bear thinking about. So, you know, my answer to that was, well, sober weddings are becoming much more popular. I mean, they really are. There are more and more people now offering, you know, you can take a kind of a pop-up bar into a wedding venue and just do a completely alcohol-free wedding. I mean, there's so much choice now. Why would you not? You can also, of course, offer alcohol for part of the time if you want a toast or whatever. Then for some people who want alcohol, they can have the alcohol. And you can have a fantastic array of alcohol-free drinks, you know, your naughty fizz or your, you know, all these amazing, amazing alcohol-free drinks on the menu. Or what I would do if it were my, you know, anniversary or whatever is exactly what I did at my birthday party. I had a birthday party when I was only a few months sober, and I had to agonize over this one: did I or didn't I serve alcohol? And in the end, because it was winter, I decided to have mulled wine on the menu, and I had one pot of regular mulled wine, which was alcohol. And alcohol-free mulled wine. And then I had a whole array of fantastic alcohol-free cocktails that people could make themselves. So we made some. I happen to have a son who's a bit of a mixologist. So we made some lovely mocktails, but then we also allowed people to make their own. So I literally laid out on the counter a whole bunch of alcohol-free botanicals, you know, alcohol-free versions of spirits, and lots, all the good makes, all the different types. And then I had some really nice mixers and, you know, artisan tonics and sparkling water. And then I had like a whole bunch of some little trays with like a pimping station. So I had little slices of lime and lemon and some olives and various herbs. And then a few of those little naff little umbrellas that you can put in cocktail glasses, and it was really fun. And we had a kind of a little the various shakers and things there, and a little blackboard with some recipes on, and people had great fun. They really enjoyed experimenting, and it was a bit like having their own little cocktail making workshop. And then at the end of the afternoon, I chose an afternoon because I was nervous, actually. That's the truth of it. I was nervous about people being judgmental. I was only about 3 months sober. But so I chose an afternoon. And at the end of the afternoon, people just said, wow, this has been just, I've had the best time. And even people who usually drink had not missed it at all. And interestingly enough, I don't think anyone had the mulled wine. Everyone tasted the alcohol-free mulled wine and absolutely loved it and thought, well, I may as well just drive home. What would be the point of not, you know? So it really is worth doing what you want to do. If it's your party, if it's your anniversary, if it's your wedding, then choose to make it a sober one. Everyone else will cope, for God's sake. You know, why would they not? Obviously, give great choices. That would be the answer there. Right, next question then is around regrets. Wow, this is something, this is a big one. This comes to that sort of forgiveness piece, what doesn't it? A sober club member said, how do we get past beating ourselves up about not doing it sooner? How do we get over those regrets? I know we can't change the past, but I wish I'd been alcohol free for my kids when they were younger. They're young adults now. I wasn't what you'd call a problem drinker, but now I realize how much more present I would have been for them. And in that, my ageism creeps in because I feel like I've wasted so much of my life on the booze elevator, and now I'm frantically trying to make up for lost time. I mean, I really resonate with that question. I could have written it all myself, a few years ago. It's exactly how I feel. Someone else replied and said, yeah, I'm the same. My kids are in their 20s. Better late than never. I have a daughter who doesn't drink. I have a son who does. It's a thing for sure. And I really resonate with this because this really was my experience. I went through a phase of feeling really grateful that I had stopped drinking, but almost blindsided with shame and guilt at the years that I had been drinking and what I'd put my kids through. And again, I was never at rock bottom, so it's not a case of having to cart me off to rehab or anything, but I know for sure that I would have been so much more present. I remember back with, I'm honestly not proud when I look back and I think how I rushed through the bedtime stories and couldn't wait to get to leave them with a babysitter or get to children's parties or whatever it might be. I'd be desperate to drop them off so that I could go and get a drink. And I remember back. I remember seeing other parents who didn't seem to have the same attachment to the booze as I did. And they would stay around. Perhaps they'd go to a children's party. They stay around. They get involved in the activities. And I'd be the one thinking, why would you do that if you can drop the kids off and then you can go and have a drink? And oh God, I mean, I feel shame now. I really do. It makes me feel ashamed. But I've worked through that because, shame is the lowest vibration. It really is. And it's not good for us to feel in that state. It doesn't change anything. We can't change anything. So my response, to that question is about acceptance. It's about accepting what is. And I talk a lot about constellations. We have another workshop coming up on the 21st of April, but in constellations we talk a lot about what is, and we talk about this concept that you can't change what happened to you, whether in childhood or in recent years. We can't change what's happened. We can't go back and change the past. We just can't. but we can change what we've made it mean. So we don't have to hang on to the same meaning. The fact that we've changed it now means that from this point, we can, you know, create a different path, create a different truth. We can start from now to be present for our kids. We can also share with them, by the way, that we are sorry for what's happened in the past. I think actually having that open channel of communication is amazing, because let's face it, none of us have had perfect parents. None of us have been perfect parents, but there's far more acceptance and resilience and respect when someone can own up to what's gone on in the past, right? So I really think this one is about acceptance, about accepting that you are where you are and you can move forward now. You can focus on the solution. You can be absolutely assured that you're not going to go back there, and you can start from where you are. And actually, that's a very powerful role modeling for your kids, really, whatever age they are, when they see that you've been able to make a change and they see how much happier you are as a result of that. That's actually really powerful. That's probably the best role modeling you can possibly do, because it shows them, okay, you're not perfect. That's real life. But look how you've managed to work through something that was clearly not advantageous for you. It's a good modeling for them, I guess. So that's about forgiveness and acceptance. And, you know, we do a lot of work in the Sober Club around self-acceptance, self-love, you can call it that if you want to, self-esteem. It underpins this whole approach, really. It's this well-being through sobriety approach. It's what underpins it all. Anyone can, in inverted commas, stop drinking for a bit. But that isn't really it, is it? It's the everything else. It's the becoming who you really are and actually learning to like yourself. And that does include being able to accept what's gone before and know that from this place, you can, you know, form a different, move on a different pathway, really. What are my other questions? I'm sure I had another one here. Oh yeah, so there was another question around triggering family habits, their stuff, not mine, and the really interesting phenomenon of how we morph into our family members when we're around them. As people-pleasing chameleons, one of my Sober Club members said, that's a great phrase, as people-pleasing chameleons, we take on their stuff and then the boundaries can become blurred. Oh, this is a really interesting topic. You're absolutely right. And I've had clients who have been feeling really good, really solid in their sobriety. Everything is starting to feel better. They're starting to focus on their self-care. They're putting themselves first. They're doing all the work. They're staying connected. They've got everything going in the right direction. And then they'll travel home and visit their parents. I mean, these are adults. We're talking about adults here, even perhaps people with their own children. They'll travel back home and visit their parents. And all of a sudden, it's like they're a 14-year-old kid again. And they will suddenly, as this question says, they'll kind of morph back into becoming their parents or becoming themselves as a surly child, take on their stuff, all the boundaries get blurred again. And I've known of several people who have said to me, you know, everything was going so well. And as soon as, you know, my dad, who always is always a bit negative about me, or as soon as my mum, who always triggers me, presses every button, as soon as she handed me a glass, you know, I just drank it. I didn't want her to feel bad. And then that other line that people will say, oh, I felt bad because, you know, my grandmother likes to sit and have a sherry with me, and so I feel bad if I don't, you know, that kind of people-pleasing mentality. And it's an interesting one, and of course it's something that we talk about a lot in family constellations, the way that we try to carry stuff for our parents completely unconsciously. We absolutely do it as children, but even as adults we try and carry their stuff rather than being able to see quite clearly, this isn't mine to carry, this fear that you have, this dependence on alcohol that you have, this need to sit and drink with me, and it must be a certain drinking my glass. It's your thing, it's not my thing. And we have a real issue sometimes around, well, as this question said, you know, around this comment, how those boundaries get blurred when we are back with our families or with people that we've known for a long time. We can slip back into other versions of ourselves, which are, you know, a lot less than beneficial. So, you know, my response to that would be, well, a bunch of things, really. Number one, if you're early weeks, and you absolutely know that certain people are going to bring out the worst in you, and going to trigger you, then don't go see them, you know, unless you really have to. Say no. This is your time. This is your time to recover, to get back to who you really are, to start to feel better, to eat really well, to get inspired, not to end up feeling like you're 5 years old again or 14 years old and you need to go and, you know, have a smoke and a drink behind the bike shed. If you know that this is a big trigger for you, then don't go. It's really okay to say no. I do give you permission. And that lovely phrase, if it's not a definite yes, it's a no. It really is a powerful act of self-care to say no. If, however, that for whatever reason isn't possible, then it's going to be about the preparation that you do, just the same as if you were prepping to go to out with friends or to a party. You've got to do your preparation. You should, my recommendation would be, give them a heads up that you're not drinking. Be very clear about that. Not woolly, very clear. Just, you can do whatever you like. You can fib or you can tell the truth. But either way around, you get the message across, I'm not drinking alcohol. If you want to, if you are a people pleaser, you can add, but you don't have to worry about me. I've got a great kombucha or alcohol-free beer or whatever. I'll bring some with me. So you're kind of easing that way for them to not feel bad for you in case they do. You can tell them the truth. You can say, I'm not drinking. I'm feeling so much better without alcohol. Or you can fib and say, I've had some dental work, or I'm on it, or whatever. Who cares? It doesn't matter. But say it and mean it and stick to it. Take your own alcohol-free drinks, even if your family or friends say that they'll get some in. Take your own, absolutely take your own, exactly what you want to drink, and some nice extra snacks or whatever. And then if when you rock up, they kind of have ignored what you've said, yeah, oh, I know you said you're not drinking, yeah, no, and that's absolute BS, here's your favorite, whatever. You just simply brush over it. You don't need to have a hissy fit or go into any kind of details. Just, yeah, oh, thanks very much. I'd love a drink. I've got some kombucha. End of, change the subject. However difficult it is, it really is. This one really is about you putting your boundaries in place. This is the self-preservation piece in the early weeks. So you do whatever it takes. If you know that you've got stuff, in inverted commas, with family members, then come and do constellations. Honestly, you won't find a better way of being able to see things differently, see things from with a different perspective. It changes the way you see your place in the family system. And that's so powerful, because that is what impacts on how you live your life and the stories you tell yourself and your limiting beliefs and all of everything. It really impacts on everything. So come and do a family constellation session, or we'll do one online. You know, we'll put one on together online for those of you that can't make it. So I hope that answers that question. Were there any more, or are we on to the reading? I think we're on to the reading list. I'm always happy to answer any of these questions, by the way. So just drop me a message. You can find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. You're very welcome to drop me a message, and I'll do another. I'll answer them on another podcast. One of the questions was, as a newbie, I would love to know all the best Quitlet to access. I found out bit by bit from listening to various podcasts. I found Annie Grace. I went on Google and just love to know a bit more about the list. So I have compiled a recommended reading list, although I must admit I did it absolutely ages ago. So this one needs an update. But in case you are new to the whole scene, if you're not new, if you've been doing this for a while, you'll know all of these books. But if you're new to the scene, I'm going to whiz through some of these books, which were my absolute favorites in the early weeks and months. And I mean, they're kind of classics now. So I really hope you you enjoy them. These kind of the classic Quitlet books, really, that helped me in the early weeks, and some of them, you know, I went back and reread them, and they're not in any particular order, so I'll just whiz through them. I suppose the first few are my absolute, well, not really, there isn't really an order, but anyway, if you are new to all of this, if you're just starting out ditching the booze, then I'd really recommend that you get at least two of these straight away and get going on them. So if you go to the show notes for this podcast, I'll give you the link to the blog, or you can go to thesoberclub.com and click on blogs, and you'll find the recommended reading list there. And I will update it as well, because there's lots that I've missed out. In fact, there's even people that I've interviewed on the podcast in the last couple of years whose books are probably not on this list, because I haven't done a big update. But anyway, here's a few of the faves. So, I mean, obviously I've got to start with mine, haven't I? I mean, come on, I have to. So my book is called Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. And I'm proud of this book because it isn't only me, she says that quickly. It does have a complete how to get the buzz without the booze section, so that's a kind of a challenge that takes you across a 30 day period. And then there's a huge lifestyle section which covers nutrition, it covers fitness, meditation, sleep, creativity. And as I say, this book isn't just me. I was very fortunate in that many of my podcast guests or contributors that I've worked with over the years, amazing experts, shared little sections for the book. So you do get, you know, quite a lot for the price of one, as it were. So I've got contributions from Dr. Eric Sigmund, William Porter, Dr. Gemma Newman, and many, many more amazing, amazing people in the book. So obviously, I hope you'll check that out. And then thinking around the power of the mind and motivation, let's start there, because that's probably one of the best places to start if you're new to this, is you need to really grasp the logic around alcohol, that logic piece. So what's wrong with it anyway? And how can we start to change our mindset? So most of you will have heard of Annie Grace. And of course, This Naked Mind was the one that started it all for Annie. And that's, of course, the title of her podcast as well. And in that book, she documents her story, lots of research around alcohol. She went back and drank a bottle of wine alone and filmed the experiment. And wow, that was a powerful read. And if you've heard Annie talk about it, very, very powerful that she actually wanted to see for herself what happened to her as she drank that alcohol over a period of time. Not socializing, so not with the distraction of chatting to other people, just alcohol for its own sake, what actually happened to her. She said it was really, really painful watching that footage back, actually watching herself become, you know, sort of slurred and just a different energy. It was, I can only begin to imagine how powerful that is. It's not an experiment I want to try for myself. I don't need to. She did it for me, but I can really imagine how that felt. So it's a very powerful book. It's many people have found it incredible. And then still with challenges, the 28-day alcohol-free challenge, Andy Ramage and Ruairi Fairbairns. That's a handy guide. It's like a really quick whiz through a challenge from the 1 Year No Beer community guys. Since then, of course, they've done loads of amazing things, and Andy is doing really powerful work with his app and his coaching stuff. So but it's still a great book to dip in for a challenge. And then along the same lines as Annie in fact refers to this book many times, is Jason Vale's Kick the Drink Easily. Now, this was actually the first book that I read. It must be over, 14 years old now. It's getting on. It's a hard hitting kind of NLP book, really, and it's not personal particularly, like Annie's. It's a very powerful look at how you can train your brain to recognize the hold that alcohol has over you. So, you know, Jason's a friend of mine. He tells me that lots of people have read the book while they're on retreat. He has a fabulous retreat center in Portugal, Juicy Oasis, and another in Turkey. Highly recommended, love it. And lots of people have read that book while they've been on retreat and have just given up drinking, just stopped drinking completely, even though they didn't even intend to. They didn't even realize that they were drinking too much. It's just they read the book, it's like, wow, a switch goes on and they stop. And this book was the book that enabled me to stop drinking for a full, I think it was 5 months once. Why did I start again? Well, probably because I thought I'd cracked it and I didn't have that concept of the joy of sobriety. But as a book to really seal in that logic around alcohol, it's absolutely fantastic. Jason doffs his cap to the next book on the list, which is Alan Carr. So Alan Carr, the Easy Way to Control Alcohol. He also wrote The Easy Way for Women to Stop Drinking. Jason actually worked with Alan Carr, doing clinics for no smoking. And he became an Alan Carr coach, I think, for a while. So it's, again, very powerful book, nothing personal in there, no fluff, just straight to it. Here's the logic. Here's how you train your brain to recognize that alcohol is not good for you. And then, of course, the book that pretty much everyone listening to this will have heard of, William Porter's Alcohol Explained. So again, William has been on the podcast many, many times, is one of the experts within the Sober Club and one of the experts as part of my Holistic Sober Coach training program. And again, William doesn't do so much the personal stuff. There's not too much persuasive language in William's books. He's used his analytical brain to really look at alcohol, to look at its effects on us, to look at why we drink. And he gives such a fantastic explanation of the addictive quality of alcohol. Very simple, very powerful. So highly recommend William's books, Alcohol Explained 1 and Alcohol Explained 2, and Diet and Fitness Explained. I mean, that's a great book, a very straightforward approach to our relationship with food and with fitness. He's also done one on Nicotine Explained. So if you're a smoker, have a look at that as well, but do the alcohol piece first. And then moving on to the books around inspiration and encouragement, you know, that logic piece is really important. It really is important to get that embedded, but we know, you know, that lovely phrase, emotions, not logic, inspire action. Actually, we need both. We need the facts about alcohol, but, you know, we also love a personal story and we also love to be inspired and motivated. And it was reading Claire Pooley's book, The Sober Diaries, that got me started and kept me on the path. And when it started to feel a bit difficult for me, I would remember that book. I'd remember that, you know, Claire had appeared so relatable to me. And so, you know, I went back to it and looked at, well, she had a weak point. I remember, always remember reading about her hideous journey to Cornwall with three kids in the car on a, you know, bank holiday or whatever, and kind of arriving and being desperate for a alcoholic drink, which is exactly how I would have been, and overcoming that desperation by finding an alcohol-free beer, and there wasn't even a bottle opener, so she had to crack it against a tree. And I so resonated with that, you know, when that's exactly what it feels like in the early weeks and months. It's like, oh, for God's sake, give me something. And so that relatability that's the inspirational piece, and it's a hard book to beat. Claire Pooley's book, The Sober Diaries. She realized she wasn't present for her children, not as present as she'd like to be. It started with a blog, Mummy Was the Secret Drinker, which led on to this brilliant book. And the highs and the lows are in there, you know, particularly if you are a parent. You know, there's no doubt that ditching the booze makes you a better parent, no doubt whatsoever. And by the way, Claire has, of course, since written amazing best-selling novels, The Authenticity Project, The People on Platform Number Five, and her new book, which I've been lucky enough to read already. It's so fantastic. You're going to love it. It's called How to Age Disgracefully. And that brings us on beautifully to the other author that I read around the same time as Claire, just after, and interviewed on the podcast. And that is, of course, Catherine Gray. One of the best books I've ever read on any topic. And I really mean that, because Catherine is such an evocative writer. I'm talking about The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. She takes us through her rock bottom journey, through to her surprise at enjoying sobriety. And the story is interspersed with really helpful suggestions, resources, the most powerful account of her family and friends' letters to her. She actually asked family and friends to write an honest letter about how they felt about her when she was drinking. How brave is that? So don't miss that. She's also written The Unexpected Joy of Being Single. She's written Sunshine Warm Sober, which is wonderful. She's written The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary. Oh my God, how I love that book. How I love it. I recommend that to everybody I work with. It's just such a beautiful book to bring you back to the present. And then she has also moved into novel writing. She's written her debut novel. Again, I've been lucky enough to read it, to get an early copy. I cannot recommend it enough. It's just fantastic. I didn't want it to end. I really didn't want it to end. Of course, there's some themes there of alcohol. Alcohol appears in the book. It's called Versions of a Girl. It's really fantastic. So you're really going to love that. I think it's out beginning of June, but don't quote me on that. But have a listen to the live podcast I did with Catherine in December, and she talks a little bit about it there. And then when I'd done Claire Pooley, Catherine Gray's book, I then moved on to Lotta Dan, Mrs. D. And the first one was Mrs. D Is Going Without. And it's such a lovely book, a funny memoir from an Aussie housewife and mum. Lotta didn't have a rock bottom moment, but was definitely a grey area drinker. And she documents the struggles with a real sense of humour. I did a podcast episode with her where we talk at length about the importance of self-care. It's a really powerful chat. Maybe I'll have to dig it out and edit it, play it again. And I also loved Mrs. D Is Going Within. So, you know, as you hear me talk about all the time, lots of people ditch the booze and then they start to think, well, maybe I do want to think about meditation and mindfulness and yoga. And she's written a really humorous account of her experiences as a spiritual newbie. And then the books that I really, really loved in my first year of sobriety were a couple of books by Augustine Burroughs. Not for the faint-hearted. Dry was the first one I read. There's absolutely no fluffy bunnies or rainbows in this book. It's a hard-hitting account of several rock bottoms. Augustine is the best-selling author of Running with Scissors. It's about and gritty and dark as it gets, really. So not in any way like my personal experience, but a really fascinating insight into the world of rehab and AA. But there's just so much beauty and hope in this book. It's jaw-droppingly beautiful writing. It really is. And then I also loved Lust and Wonder. Again, it's a memoir, not specifically about addiction, but about the challenges that Augustine faced and how sobriety underpinned everything. And there's a really powerful phrase in that book. It's something like, the downside of being sober is that there's no excuse for being fucked up. Just doesn't that say it all? The downside of being sober is that is there no excuse for being fucked up. But yeah, I love Augustine Burroughs' writing. I really do. I reached out to try and get Augustine on the podcast, and we got a little way down the line, but yeah, I think he's kind of busy. But if you're listening, Augustine Burroughs, please come on. And then Joe DeRosa. Again, I've interviewed Joe several times on the podcast. Joe is the author of Quantum Sobriety. She had a really interesting past, alcohol and cocaine addict, who found freedom through meditation. She used to offer rehab retreats, but now does a whole bunch of other stuff. Still very much locked to meditation, yoga, mindset, spirituality. And even if you're very new to spirituality, this book offers really manageable ways of looking at meditation, even if you're brand new to it. Back on memoirs, Lisa Smith's book, Girl Walks Out of a Bar. She was a hotshot lawyer, functioning really well until she wasn't. And then when she finally faced up to the fact that she needed a drink to start the day, she sought help. So again, it's quite a powerful, hard-hitting book. Check out the podcast I did with Lisa. That was a really powerful podcast. And then Ruby Warrington, Sober Curious. What a fantastic title. Originally from the UK, but living in New York. She runs Club Soda NYC, which is not to be confused with Club Soda in the UK. But the book covers mindful drinking and encourages how we can deal with the sober first. So it focuses on, those things that we sometimes come and kind of bite us on the bum, the first sober holiday, wedding, and all the rest of it. Ruby's written other books since as well. Lucy Rocker's book, Glass Half Full, A Positive Journey to Living Alcohol Free. She's written several other books as well, Calling Time on 1 o'clock. And she was one of the first women in the UK to raise the question of whether wine o'clock is a good idea for women. So very powerful in this scene. Been going for a long time. And then Sarah Hepler, Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget. So that's another pretty hard-hitting one, a rock bottom to recovery story. And then there's a really beautiful descriptive memoir called The Outrun, from Amy Liptrot. I think this book's got its own kind of forum or Facebook group. It's very popular. It's a really it's just a beautiful book. It takes Amy from addiction, the kind of grime and the grunge of her life and rehab, and she goes from London to the windy wilds of Ireland, and it's so beautifully written. I swear you can actually see into her soul. Rebecca Weller, A Happier Hour. I keep meaning to try to get Rebecca on the podcast. I must do that. It's a light-hearted memoir from another Aussie grey area drinker, and this one talks a lot about how wonderful it is to find joy in choosing not to drink. It's a great title, isn't it? A Happier Hour. And then there's Amber Tozer, who wrote Sober Stick Figure. That's a really nice memoir. A US writer who did go to AA, so there's lots of stuff in there that, again, is not wasn't my experience, but some really powerful stuff, and some really fun illustrations of stick figures that she did herself. Then there's Russell Brand's book, a real classic. Whatever you do or don't think about Russell Brand, this book is a very powerful book. Recovery, Freedom from Our Addictions. It isn't for everyone, though, I have to tell you. It's his highly irreverent take on the 12 steps with an awful lot of fucks. It's a very powerful book, though. Can't deny that. And then to complete this little recommended reads list, which, as I say, is all documented on a blog post, and I'm going to add to it and update it. Jack Trimpe's book, Rational Recovery. I thought the wine witch, the whole idea of the wine witch, the voice in the head, the voice that tells you, "Oh, go on, have another drink," was a phrase coined in recent years by, sober influencers. But It really isn't. This absolute classic book is by Jack Trimpe, who's a former US social worker who drank heavily for 20 years. And this book came out, I think it was in the 50s. He eschewed AA, he eschewed the whole concept of being powerless, and he formed Rational Recovery, which was all about teaching people how to recognize the addictive voice. It's a big old book. It's a kind of weighty old tome. Absolutely fascinating just to see how long this voice in the head concept has been around, and the whole idea that once you can recognize this voice in the head, once you can acknowledge it, once you can notice these are just thoughts, I can be separate from this, then you can start to change this and you can actually be free. You can actually start on your journey to freedom. So I really hope that's helpful for anyone who wants to do a bit of reading. I'll make sure all of that is documented for you. I'll absolutely add to it. I know that you'll be thinking, she hasn't included X and Y and my favorite. And you're right, because it's not been updated in ages. But that's the kind of, well, those were the ones that got me started. So it's always quite nice, isn't it, to go back to some of the classics. But I will update with many of the newer books as well. So don't forget, if you've got questions for me, or anyone you'd like me to interview, and this week's been an unusual week, so it's just me wittering at you. But if it's anyone you'd like me to interview on the podcast, just drop me a message at Janie Lee Grace, or you can find me via the Sober Club. If you want support on your journey, join us. It's very inexpensive. It's incredibly high value. I would say that, wouldn't I? But it really is. TheSoberClub.com. Check it out. There's so much content and inspiration there and connection. There's a course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. There's a whole bunch of amazing meditations, and we cover just about everything if you want to look at that holistic approach. And, you know, why would you not? So check it out. If you are interested in our events, Wednesday, the 10th of April in London, come for a meetup and the podcast recording with Happy With That Hooch, Michael. That's on Wednesday, 10th of April. And then on Saturday, the 20th, our vision board workshop and ditching the limiting beliefs. That's in Hertfordshire. And Sunday, 21st, family constellations. So I really hope I'll see you at some of those. Oh, and we've almost certainly got a Champneys retreat in place, by the way, in Hertfordshire on the 18th and 19th of May. So we'll have those details up very soon on the website, but register your interest if that is something you might be able to come to. It's got 18th and 19th of May at Champneys at Tring in Hertfordshire. So you can always message me if that's of interest. If you're doing this, by the way, give yourself a big hug. Take that from me. I'd love to give you a big hug and say, well done. This is the best thing you'll ever do. Seriously, best thing you'll ever do for your health and well-being. And if you've been sober for absolute years, then give yourself a big hug too, because I'm sure you're dropping little ripples. You're spreading your light as well. And that makes a huge difference. And if you're struggling, reach out. If you don't want to join the Sober Club, just reach out anyway. You know, I'll hold that vision for you. If you send me a message, I'll do my best to reply. So I'll see you same time next week.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.